You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Ah, there he is, Frankie Sinatra, bringing us in on the third hour. We're going to do one more segment with Joanne DiFilippo, Dr. Joanne, and then John Brakey's coming up, and we're going to talk about election stuff going on Arizona and beyond. Joanne and I, if you just tuned in, we're talking. This is a follow-up from her Monday visit, where we were talking about Monday. We had 11 executives at Pima County getting COVID bonuses. And then ever since then, after 3 days later, there's a new memo that went out from Jan Lesher to the Board of Supes. And now there's 19 people that have gotten the
COVID incentive bonus.
COVID incentive bonus.
It grew by 8. And mind you, the 11 was actually in response to a public records request, which I found very interesting, because that means that information was withheld from the public records request response that I received.
Correct.
Okay, so there's two areas that we're looking at here. One, the April 7th memo, 2021, which outlined the criteria for why this premium pay would be awarded to these county employees for the COVID incentive bonus. That's number one. Number two, the information contained therein in the memo is erroneous for what I received from in response to my public records request. So, but above all, I found this very interesting that this memo surfaced right after I appeared on your show on Monday.
I'm in shock.
But the best part about is, you know, normally when a county administrator does a memo, anybody can go onto the county website and go in the upper right corner, click on government, take a look at county administrator, click on that. You'll bring up the county administrator's webpage, scroll down, and you can see the link for all of the administrator's memos.
Sure.
You click on there, and nowhere in the world do you see. Now, you would not find the April 7th, 2021 memo there, because that was from Jan Lesher to Chuck.
Right.
And Jan was deputy county. Yeah, so there's you know, no obligation to post that. However, the May 10th, 2022 memo, which was done, 48 hours after you and I spoke, that should be on the county administrator's webpage, because that is an open, transparent, public document to the Pima County Board of Supervisors.
And there's only one thing on May 10th so far on her page, and that's City of Tucson differential water rate lawsuit update.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Absolutely.
You should go read that.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. I found the exemptions on the Tucson water rates very interesting.
I bet.
Is there anything interesting about the 8 people that were added to the list that would have had an incentive to not speak about in your first response?
Well, four of the people, so let's take a look at that. There are 8 people that were added to the list, going from 11 to 19. 4 of the people, 3 from IT and 1 from analytics, data, and governance, I never even knew that they received COVID. So they were not included in my original public records request. I only knew it to be more or less county admin, HR, and finance. However, of those 8 additional, and like I say, 4 were IT, data, governance, then the other 4 happened to be a combination predominantly from county administration working out of, let's say, Chuck's office, plus one other individual from HR. So most definitely, those missing county administration and the one from HR should have been included in the public records request response I received. Why they were eliminated, that's interesting. Only the county can answer that.
Well, and again, the idea that the memo that she sent out, which they're always very good about putting that up on the page, is not on the page.
Yes. I mean, that's the map. And people really need to take, if you want to know what's going on in your county or what's about to go on,
right,
you go to that page and you take a look at those memos. Now, if we're sitting here on May 11th. If you see a memo May 12th. Oh, see how fast the days have gone by? If you see a memo that's dated, let's say, for example, May 19th, that means in all likelihood, that item is going to be addressed at that board meeting that will be held on that day. So that's why if you see a memo that has an advance date on it,
right,
pay attention to it, because that means it's going to be coming up somewhere along the line on either an agenda or an addendum item.
So the three coming up next week that they have so far is an appointment of a guy as the public fiduciary, some guy named Justin Kluck. Modifications to the employee 19 vax requirement.
Yes.
That should be fascinating. And then this one Matt's going to love. The recommendation for additional sick leave for those negatively affected by the April 2020 stay-at-home order.
Yes. I mean, you know, and I believe that the memo on the vaccine is, if I recall correctly, I think what they're going to do is pretty much still maintain or ask the board to approve the continuity of requiring vaccines for anybody, new hires, et cetera, as well as you would have to have the vaccine if you're, like, working with vulnerable populations. And I think part of it, too, is, you know, remember those incentives, disincentives memos that came out in August 2021 as well as October? You know, you'll have to look and see what happens on the agenda, but parts of those could, who knows, be moving forward.
So on the sick leave, Matt, because I know this is going to make you sick. So she's going to recommend they eliminate item three from the criteria above, which is sick leave less than 40 hours based on a Board of Soup vote last month. And she's gaunts them that all these folks are going to get, here we go, 80 hours extra supplemental sick and 40 hours extra sick. So it's 120 hours now of extra, here we go, Pima County employees. So that's how they're making up for all those people not getting all those bonuses.
Well, and remember this, what people don't realize, I think, every time you give that time off, let's say on a pandemic leave, okay, in all likelihood, that payroll is debited. It's expensed to the COVID money, not the county's general fund. Okay? It's a great way to do cost savings.
Right.
Okay? And that's why when you take a look at the amount of COVID money that the county has received, the $303 million, more or less, total, you can see any salaries that were expensed for COVID activities, those were not billed to the county. They're billed to the COVID money. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but at yesterday's budget hearing meeting, I'm told that there's a proposition on the table to give county employees, I think it's from, let's say, $0 to $1 to $75,000, a 5% wage increase. From $75,000 to $100,000, I think it's a 3% increase. And then anybody earning over $100,000 is a 1% increase. I want to ask you and your listeners, how many business owners lost their businesses during this COVID?
A truckload.
Yes. How many people are still battling, living paycheck to paycheck, if not less? And I think sometimes we need to look at the optics of what we are doing in this county. It's almost, I find it egregious. You know, I'm all for awarding merit, bonuses, et cetera, to employees that deserve it.
Right.
But what I look at is when a county is hurting, I believe what? I think we're the fifth poorest community county in the nation. It is absolutely egregious to put this in the face of the taxpayers.
So here's the per capita income for Pima County for the average. What do you think the number is? Per capita income, Pima County, this is 2016 to 2020 over a 4-year average. What do you think?
42?
30.
30? Yeah.
$30,747.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, look at it. We took $10 million worth of COVID money, the Board of Supervisors, and allocated it to rental assistance, rental eviction assistance, right?
Right.
That's telling you something about your community. Why in the world would you go in the face of the taxpayers? I mean, everybody wants an increase. That's just human nature.
An average salary in Pima County employee is $43,000.
And if I recall correctly, when Supervisor Allie Miller was in office, she did a request to Chuck about how many employees earned over $100,000 a year. I remember that. And I think the response came back that it's about 100, maybe slightly over 100.
So one day, maybe I'll do it again. 3 years ago, Yeah, I did a thing. It was a database on the Arizona Republic for every government employee in Arizona. So I put in Pima County, and I told my previous producer, Ed, I was going to read every employee on the air, how much they make, and what do they do. And he goes, well, that sounds boring as hell, right? I did it for an hour and a half.
It's fascinating.
It's unbelievable.
Yes, so. Absolutely fascinating.
Well, I can't wait to hear what happens after this meeting with Joanne DiFilippo and Christy Simone.
Well, I think perhaps your listeners might want to tune in to the Board of Supervisors meeting, I believe, next Tuesday.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's very easy now to access.
Yeah, and I do want your listeners to know that, you know, the county had originally said you can't do call in to the public, you can't call in. Well, they corrected that. So if you want to speak and you can't go down to the county boardroom or you don't want to, make sure that you notify the clerk of the board at least 24 hours in advance, and you can't speak telephonically.
Awesome. And again, maybe if one of these supervisors, Democrat supervisors, are on another radio show, right? Maybe they're on Bert Lee, right? Or maybe Bob Lee's doing a Nogales preview interview or something. Go call them up on those shows and ask those supervisors what they think of these things.
Yeah,
what they say.
I want to leave you with one thing. I do appreciate the efforts of Supervisor Christie, because he is the only supervisor who is actually standing up for the taxpayers and asking very relevant questions about this. My advice to Supervisor Matt Hines: continue your questioning. Do not accept the answers that you are getting. You just don't realize the answers that you're asking have valid responses to them.
Oh, we got a quote from Rex Scott. Rex, what about this?
It's a teachable moment.
All right, let's go to break. We got John Brakey coming up next. Joanne, great seeing you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
And we'll have her back again, trust me. There's a lot of meat on that bone. John Brakey coming up next for jumping into another a clear crystal pool of election integrity work out there. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. 8:25 in the morning. We're switching gears from someone bringing justice in the world of Pima County in general to someone who's trying to do it in the world of elections. John Brakey, welcome back, sir. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good to be back.
I heard you had to turn your mic a little bit closer towards your face. There you go. Beautiful.
Okay.
There you
okay.
go. That's beautiful. Good morning. Welcome back. For some of the new listeners, tell us what a John Brakey is and what does he do?
Well, I used to be a election integrity activist, but I got out of that and I became a transparency activist because I work towards the solution.
Right.
I work all over the country. What I do is not about the right or left. It's about right and wrong. And the name of my group is AUDIT. AUDIT is an acronym. It stands for Americans United for Democracy, Integrity, and Transparency. What I do is not about the right or left. It's about right and wrong. And I work very closely. And I had a great opportunity a year ago when you first interviewed me, Ken Bennett, who used to be Secretary of State, and
yep.
4 years he was the President of the Senate, that another guy named Brendan Sletton, who is the Libertarian Party, formed a very strong bond, and we were the liaison to the Senate, is who we were. And from that fraudit...
What do you mean fraudit? You talking about the cyber ninja thing?
Oh, it was incredible. It was, you know, immediately the three of us agreed that as the results were being counted, they should be released. They went berserker. No way. Okay. They would never do press conferences. Okay.
Correct.
The only thing that they would wind up doing is made a movie, which was just a complete joke. Okay. And then they had three Senate hearings. Okay. Locking out the media because, you know, these people who are grifters, they do things like they don't like experts around them.
So okay? Cyber ninjas, first of all, never hire a company that has the word ninja in it, first and foremost. Okay, whatever. But at the same time, who were these guys, right? How did they win this contract to do this?
A lot of pressure from Trump, okay, and his people below, other grifters, okay, and they somehow got to Fan, okay, and Karen Fan, I respect Karen Fan, I like her, okay? Yeah, we're not going to vote the same way, probably, okay?
Right.
But she represented her constituents. They demanded this. So she set up a system that would have cost the state $150,000. Now it's turned into $3 to $4 million. Why? Because there was no cooperation from one side to the other. They didn't want those machines over there in the stadium. That cost $3 million.
Who's the number one non-cooperating entity in that process?
Everybody except for fans. She reached out really hard, and I feel
so for the Maricopa County Board of Supes.
Oh, of course. Of course. And what? They were Republicans. And,
right.
and you know, the funny thing about this whole thing is that I spent 3 weeks before the election inside Maricopa, you know, and I've sued Maricopa probably 8 times in 16 years, you know.
Right.
And I found it to be a really good election. It was very transparent. I saw everything I wanted to see. But at the very end, when we did the hand count audit, I flunked them. And that got me very interested.
Because so the hand count on 2020?
Not on the general. I was there for the primary. And I found that they had picked 52 batches of ballots to be hand counted. And they were picked starting 14 days out. And they actually printed a piece of paper and they put it in the box, okay, saying these are the results. There was 10,341 batches. So they're only checking the batches, okay, for that they picked beforehand, okay? I mean, you know, it's like having 10,000 banks, and I'm going to put 50 cops at 50 banks, and if I know, and I'm going to tell
everybody
about these banks.
So they hand-counted ones that they already were planning on. Okay, well, hold on. Let's go to break, and I want John to re-explain that to me one more time. So you're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Wow, it's Steve Winwood's birthday today, right? Spencer Davis and Traffic. And this is a solo song called Freedom Overspill. I think this is perfect timing for talking about elections. We're hanging out with John Brakey. What's the website for audit?
It is auditelectionsusa.org.
Auditelectionsusa.org.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about you called it the fraudit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the cyber ninjas.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I asked you off air, I said, what do you think the cyber ninjas wanted as the result in the end? And did they really get it?
No.
Right? And then whatever everyone thinks, everyone's waiting on Brinovich to go do something. Does Brinovich actually have anything to do, something to work with?
No, he doesn't have anything to work with.
Right, I think that's kind of part of it.
It's all a lot of hocus and pocus. And, the cyber ninjas originally really believed with others that they were going to find a fractional attack, okay?
Explain a fractional attack.
Well, you think that you have a whole vote? No, it can be broken up into, let's say, 100 pennies or 100%, okay? And you could dial into this system if you were an insider. Okay, you have to be a big insider to do this. They believed that every vote, and had people who came in on November 30th, I call it the Rudy Giuliani grifter show. I have the whole thing on film. It's just incredible. You know, I'm an expert, and you can read between the lines. But when Dr. Shiva came in, he gave tremendous testimony, and two other people backed up his statistics. And they believed that every vote for Biden had a value of 1.3, and every vote for Trump was a 0.7, and that we were going to find 400,000 to 500,000 illegal votes, okay, if we looked at the actual paper. Because, you know, fraction magic can change the numbers on the fly, but it cannot change the hand-marked paper ballot, nor can it change the ballot image, you know.
Don't sue me if you're listening, Dominion lawyers. These are Dominion machines?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It could be ES&S machines.
But they don't have the function to do that, is what you're saying.
They don't have the function to change that. No, they don't. You take a supercomputer to do it, especially on a high-speed scanner. You couldn't.
So,
but you can change the database really easy. It's a spreadsheet. Okay?
Right.
And you can dial a formula, like an app could come in and change it, and then pull right off.
Is that something that the ninjas didn't look at?
Oh, they did. Oh, you bet.
Right.
And they didn't find nothing, at least where they looked.
Where should they be looking?
I don't like the system in Arizona when it comes to recounts. You know, to get a recount in the state of Arizona, if you're running for a state race or something like that, is 0.1%. And that's not very much. In the county level, it's 10 votes. In Maricopa, on election night, had candidates running against the Board of Supervisors. And I want you to know, on election night, it looked like that the county was going to be run by three people of color.
So what you're saying is...
A black man and a black woman.
Do you think that what you're saying is that the Maricopa Board of Supervisors' reluctance to work with Karen Fan might have something more to do with their own elections than caring about Biden Trump?
Yeah.
So,
and nobody's ever looked into it, and I keep talking about it.
So when you look at the Arizona elections and Maricopa County, maybe even Pima County, what went wrong? Did anything go wrong?
You know, things could always work a lot better. Elections are complicated. This was the biggest election in 120 years with percentage of turnout, okay? But because the procedures and the way they do things, people can get very confused. Example, did you know that in Maricopa, they have a voter database of 2.6 million people? No, they don't. They have a database close to 3 million because they have 267,000 people on an inactive list. Pima had 50,000, okay? How do you get on an inactive list? You haven't voted in two federal elections in a row, or they sent you two documents and you, like a vote by mail, and you never filled it out. Well, they put you on the inactive list. If you walk into a voting center in Maricopa County and you put your ID below this cursor, the computer system is going to recognize you, and now you're an active voter. That creates precincts that have super high turnouts. And a lot of Republicans don't believe 100% turnouts, and I don't either.
Right.
But if you have, when you put a result out saying that your county had a, look at this, an 80.1% turnout, when the reality is 10% of your voters are on an inactive list, you're kind of putting out information. You're trying to look good. I'm not saying they did anything really wrong, but we want to see a system set up. And that's what we're working for, me and Ken Bennett, with this House bill, is that we want to make Arizona's elections transparent, trackable, publicly verified, using ballot images that you could download. And then when you add them up yourself or your precinct, you should be able to go to a ballot library, which is just normal storage.
Right.
But we want them to put the inkjet back into the high-speed counters and physically marry the ballot once it's anonymous, okay, and cannot be tied back to a voter, and then marry that to the image. You get the images. Everybody else can add up their own and verify. Because right now in this country, it's a very dangerous country, okay? 50 million Americans think that Trump's election was stolen, okay? 64% of us, including me, think our democracy is in crisis, and it really is. We're more close to having... We're such a divide in this country that a guy like me, who is a hard... core progressive Democrat, okay,
right,
couldn't get one Democrat in the House, even though I kind of jumped in late, to support a bill that 31 Republicans support.
Hold that thought, Matt, you were going to say something.
Just a quick follow-up question on your discussion of the Maricopa County.
Put your headphones on real quick. Sorry, Matt's got a question for you.
Just a quick follow-up question on the discussion about the Maricopa County supervisors' reluctance and pushback on this. Were any of those three races you cited anywhere near close?
Oh, absolutely. One at the final analysis, one of the race, well, of course, the Hispanic guy, I forget his name offhand, he won. He's been in there for a long time. One person got within 0.1%. But because it was a 10-vote margin, he couldn't challenge. The other person, I think, fell out by 0.4. And I want you to know that Fontes lost his race by 0.23%. And he was very much disliked by Republicans.
Sure.
I'm a friend of his. And I'm a friend of Ron Fincham, too. And I'm proud to say that both of these men who are running for office are supporting this bill to make elections transparent, trackable.
Now, one last question.
Verified.
I want to get to this bill. There's been some cursory investigations of people tracking ballots that were voted on, right, by mail, and it's at an address from an address that doesn't exist, right? You get there and it's like an empty lot. Have you looked into that side of it at all?
No, I really haven't.
That's all right.
Even though I know a little bit.
There's a lot of moving parts of this thing,
and
so.
Reviewing all of this.
Yeah.
You know, when Dr. Shiva was hired to do the analyzing of the vote by mail, he really didn't know what he was doing, okay?
Right.
And he really screwed it up pretty bad, and he lost a lot of credibility. But he did come back, and a broken clock is right twice a day. He did come back. He did get the ballot images, the correct ones. He ran them. He confirmed the results. And then he said, now you owe me $50,000 for doing this. And by the way, if you had done this in the beginning, like I said, you would have saved $9 million.
Now... This bill at the up in the legislature.
Yes.
HB, don't know.
2780.
2780.
Yes.
So what's the meat and potatoes of this bill?
The meat and potatoes is that it's a transparency bill. We want them to publish 10 days before the election a list of everybody who can vote in your county by precinct, including the inactive. Then after the election, they must publish a list of who did vote. You should be able to take one list against the other and see there was no ghost voters.
You all right. So at the beginning, then, you're publicly putting out the list of eligible voters in your state, your county, yeah. Right? And then at the end, after the thing's over, these are the people who voted.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Okay. That makes sense to me.
Now, you have to realize, before I go into the next part, the actual act of voting in our state, in our Constitution, is the secret process. There's a history to that. That's how we got the Australian ballot. It's a fascinating story, which I will not go into.
Another day.
Okay. But what we want now is that after the election, you now have a check and balance with the voters. Now let's talk about the results. We want the ballot images released with the cast vote record database, okay? And that will be uploaded to the Secretary of State site 2 days after the official canvass. They've agreed to take the 5-day period, make it into a 7, because we want nobody shorted by that, because if you're going to legitimately challenge an election in this state, you can only do it if the results are within 0.1%, which is an anomaly by itself, and the county's worth, like I said, 10 votes, but now you can check. And I think you're not going to find anything, because the purpose of this bill is very simple. You've heard me talk about this before on the show. We want to take away their impunity to cheat. Okay?
Right.
We want a system. Listen, folks, elections are not any good unless they're transparent, trackable, publicly verified. Maybe more people might vote. Maybe more people would take it seriously. When we talk about 2020,
was there any
the
good reason? You said no Democrats signed on, voted for this bill, right? So why? Well, I understand why. Did anyone give you a good reason why not?
Yes.
What's a good reason to vote no on
My
this?
My God, John, they submitted 140 bills, and most of those bills were crap. Okay? Well, I salute the Republicans because they do represent their constituents.
Right.
And they'll say, well, I'll put a bill together for your group. And they did. And most of them never saw daylight. Okay? There was 3 bills that were put together, believe it or not, by Republican friends of mine on their own. Borelli was one. Senator Borelli. Ron Fincham put a bill together. And then there is John, oh my God, I can't think of his name. He's been there forever. He's the one that
Mark Fincham.
Mark Fincham, yeah.
You call him Ron Fincham.
I'm sorry. Yes, Mark. Thank you. And so basically, right now, the bill has passed the House. It's in the Senate. We spent 6 weeks amending it. Right now, it's tied up in the budget fight.
Right.
And we're trying to get it freed up because it's a de minimis bill. There is no cost. It's a transparency bill. The library, all it is better storage. If Maricopa had 46 pallets of ballots, 46, they had 1,650 boxes of ballots, and not one of them was sorted by precinct. Not one. Everything is random. We can take the images and sort them into precincts, and we can count them. Okay? And we can put them out there. And everybody should be able to have access. They'll pull it down. They'll sign up. If they prove they did an audit, Then they have the right. Hey, if they think they can be cute and say, oh, I'm going to get the images and I'm going to forge. Well, I'll take you back to what Bill Reisner said at a trial in 2007. Have you ever heard of being tarred and feathered, run out of town at a rail? My God, the county has the original ballot. They have the original image. They've agreed not to redact anything because we convinced them that this is evidence. And if somebody was to draw something not pretty on a ballot, well, if you take it off, it's not going to match the original. It's going to look like a fake. And so all we had to do in the bill is write to hold them and hold them harmless. That if somebody drew a penis on a ballot, let's say, that it wouldn't be a problem, okay? It would be stupid somebody doing that.
Right.
And by the way, that happened a long time ago when Sheriff Joel Pyle was doing the vote-by-mail ballots.
Gotcha.
20 years ago.
Well, again, in your battles with the RTA on that vote, right? You know, those paper ballots were quote, destroyed.
Oh, absolutely. 9 years. 9 years in one case.
All right. Hold on for one more commercial break. Let's visit some great sponsors. We're going to have a quick segment back with John Brakey. I got a question that's burning a little hole in my head. I want to ask him when we come back. Remember, what's the website? Audit?
AuditElectionsUSA.org.
All right. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Tomorrow's show will be fun as always. CJ from Saguaro, McCluskey, Brad from Solidarity. It's should be a very fun show tomorrow. Wake up. All right, 8:54 in the morning. They want you to roll with it, as we would say. Steve Winwood's birthday today, 7902040. If you miss anything on the show, KVOI.com. We're talking to John Brakey, AuditElectionsUSA.org. So a question I have for you, and again, a lot of the work you're doing is about as the ballots, you know, the transparency of it. But the one question I have for you is these ballot boxes,
mm-hmm.
okay, where things can just get dropped off during a 3-week period or any of that stuff. Isn't that the ultimate, like, kind of opening for the loss of chain of custody for a ballot? Right? Even Jimmy Carter 18 years ago when they did an election commission with all the fancy people said, try to minimize vote by mail as much as possible. Even there's countries in Europe that outlaw it because there's too much possible fraud. So where are we at? How do we bring some justice in the world to vote by mail? How do we do that better?
You know, there's a lot of things that we can do better, okay? And in a perfect world, it would be nice that we all voted on a Saturday and that
Amen.
We had people who were professional running elections, okay?
Amen again.
And counting. And that we had a long period, and then we actually count the top race by hand at least, okay? And then there's images. And but, you know, this whole thing with the 2,000 mules, I'm waiting to see the movie. I want to try to stay as objective as
I can.
Well,
we'll talk about that next time. Hopefully you'll see it by the time I see you again.
Good, that'd be better.
But what I want to say is this on the mail-in thing, right? Shouldn't mail-in be – there's two – you get your mail-in ballot, right? You have to put it in the post office to mail back in.
That's what I do.
Right? But that's what I think the law should be, right? You mail it in to the post office.
Yeah.
Okay? Or if you don't make the magic date that they say, you got to walk it into an actual place where they verify you and you can hand them your ballot.
That's right.
Does that sound like a reasonable solution?
Well, yeah, it does. It really does. And I'd say Maricopa probably is one of the best in what they do. Let's say, for example, that I mail you a ballot and I'm working for Maricopa and you never get it. And then you walk into a voting center and says, hi, my name is Chris and this is Simone and I want to go ahead and I lost my ballot. And well, let me check. Oh, yeah, it never hit the system. Right now, we're putting a block on it. Here's your new ballot.
Amen.
Okay? It's an Amazon system. They do check the signatures. They do a pretty good job. By the way, I used the drop box out in front of my house this morning to vote. It was my mailbox. I put the flag up, and I stuck my ballot in there for the May 17th referendum that's happening here.
Did you vote no?
No, I voted yes.
Oh.
You know, hey, I sued them over it, but the point I'm trying to say is that we do need infrastructure. We do need roads, okay? And this money's got to come from something. We're already acclimated to it. It's a condition. So I voted yes.
Next time you'd make a silly decision
but I sued
like
them
this,
over
please,
the last
please call me.
Okay.
If
my
you knew
son
how-
is a realtor, and he convinced me.
If both you and your son knew how much money the city had received for roads over the last 10 years and didn't put it towards roads, you would actually regurgitate on the radio right now.
And we have to have better elections and change out people, and we have to push on that because our infrastructure is important.
What do you think about these spring elections? Like, shouldn't we have? Shouldn't all elections just be in November?
You would think so. You think you would think so, but it's not.
I mean, if this thing has a 20% turnout for this thing, I'd be in shock.
I would too. I think it could be less. Who knows?
So you're heading to North Carolina. We got a minute left. What are you going to do in North Carolina?
I'm going to go there and talk about the Arizona Miracle, and I'm going to watch their election. This is my third trip into North Carolina. It's a swing state.
What's the Arizona Miracle?
The Arizona Miracle is that we never have to do the fraud it again because we figured out a system how to make elections transparent, trackable, publicly verified with a ballot library. And Ted Downing calls it the big lie killer. For both sides. Facts matter, folks.
So Ted's a former Dem, is a Dem.
And I think he's independent right now.
Yep, and he's a supportive of the 28, HB?
HB 2780.
2780.
If you go to the site, you're not going to see the amended bill. We're waiting for the cow to amend it. My email is johnbrakey@gmail.com. I'd be glad to send anybody a copy.
All right. Sir, good to see you, as always.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Chris.
We'll do it again. Watch the mules, and then we'll do a review on the mules together.
Okay.
All right, safe travels.
Same. Thank you.
All right, John Brakey made a big mistake voting yes on 411, but we'll still have him back on. Tomorrow we got our friends from Solidarity HealthShare. We have CJ from Saguaro Corners. Sean McCluskey's, I think he's bringing the folks from Frankie's Cheesesteak in the third hour, so it should be very fun. So everyone have an amazing day. We'll see you in 21 hours.